in, you kind of maybe give that heavy sigh, or that you're instantly irritated, and you maybe walk another way. And here we're commanded to not, to grudge not. Very straightforward, grudge not one against another. And as we look through James here, if we turn back a chapter in James chapter 4, we've seen that earlier he had been talking about not speaking evil of each other. In James 4 and verse 11, it says, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge." So he's talking about some of these outward actions beforehand. But here it's not talking about speaking evil of each other, but more of a heart issue, this idea of grudging, this idea of this irritation in the heart or in the mind towards somebody else. Not really these outward actions, but what's going on inside. At the end of this book, he's saying, grudge not. He's talking about being in control of what we are doing inside towards those that are outside. But he had already talked about what is going on, this evil speaking. In Mark 7:21, we do know that, "For from within and out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders," and so on and so forth. How these actions come from within. And he's saying you need to fight the battle of what's going on inside if you ever want to have victory over the battle that's going on with our actions with each other. Grudge not. It was something that had been commanded all the way back in Israel. Go turn, please, to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. And there in verse 18, he's been talking about the different ways of dealing with each other, about being a talebearer and not hating thy brother in verse 17. In verse 18 it says, "Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord." So we see this command all the way back when Israel was beginning as a people, and this idea of the law that was being given to them. They were talking about how to deal with each other, and it talked about not bearing, holding on to. That's something that we like to do with grudges, by the way. We like to bear them. It says right there, not nor bear any grudge, and we'll talk a little bit about that later. But it also here, I want to keep this in mind, it gives the antidote or maybe what is the opposite of bearing a grudge there in verse 18. It says, but, don't bear a grudge. He says, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. What is this? What is this idea of grudge? And I just want to further kind of get into what it is to have a grudge. And as we look through Scripture, please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we'll see how this word, this idea of grudge is used in other connotations. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, in a very well-known verse, I think it was talked about just this last week in the idea of giving. And in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7, it says, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." So you can see here this idea of this is something that would irritate or hold back, that would kind of keep you back from doing something, in this instance, giving. And we know how that's used and how we would talk about that in the idea of giving, but how about in our relationships to others? Is there something that would hold us back in our love? 1 Peter 4:9 says, "Use hospitality one to another without grudging." Nothing that would hold us back. Nothing that would irritate us enough. Nothing that would bother us enough that we couldn't use hospitality one to another. I think of, it's easy with kids. You tell them to do something, and often they do it grudgingly. You tell them to do it, and they kind of stomp off, or you tell them to eat their food and they'll take the smallest piece, whatever the case may be. We can see that very easily in kids, but what about in ourselves? Do we have a grudge one against another? The Bible says here in James, grudge not. No allowances. doesn't give any allowances. It says simply, grudge not one against another. And I think it can be easy for us, and we're going to talk more about this later, but to justify our grudges. That's very easy for us to do. But I think about Ananias and those disciples there at Damascus when they were to bring Paul in. And you see Ananias even say, well, Lord, Paul's coming to kill us. Look what he's already done with all these people. And he was supposed to obey. He was supposed to show hospitality. He was supposed to love them without grudging. And I think if anybody had a reason to have a grudge, it would have been them. And we see that our love for others is not to be tempered by our prejudice or thoughts about them. If you go back to James chapter 2, we see this truth here that he displays here in another aspect, and he's speaking specifically about those that come in, but the principle is universal here. In James chapter 2, in verse 8 and 9, he says, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. There shouldn't be anything that would hinder our love for others. Nothing. James says, grudge not. Are you struggling letting go of things, even perhaps feeling justified in our grudges? James says, grudge not. Very simple. Grudge not one against another. Why did James need to go into this? Well, turn over to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. We'll read a few verses here, starting in verse 1. It says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. It's talking about these wars, these fightings from among them were coming from me, my lusts. My lusts. And we could go through lots of the different lusts, and we'll talk a bit about them, but it really comes to play in verse 5, where it says, do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? You know, whatever lusts we can go through, and like I said, we could go through a whole bunch, but they all lead us to this place of envy when it comes to me and you. That's our natural self. Coming out. Our natural self is to have these lusts, to have these envyings. And I think of back in the days of judges, and why did things go so wrong? Well, it says in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And James points out here that our natural man's lust specifically leads to envyings. And well, what are envyings? Well, again, we look at the definition. It says to feel uneasiness, mortification, or discontent at the sight of superior excellence, reputation, or happiness enjoyed by another. To repine at another's prosperity, to fret or grieve oneself at the real or supposed superiority of another, and to hate him on that account. Second definition is to grudge, to withhold maliciously. To withhold maliciously. Envyings. Why were there fightings? Why were there wars among them? It was from their lust that had led to envyings. To grudge, to withhold maliciously. And that idea of that envying and that fighting, that it brought to mind a stupid thing in my life. Ian's one of my best friends. We've grown up best friends, like brothers. But we both like to win. It's true. We both like to win. And if I'm not going to win, I don't want him to win. It's a silly thing, and it's my envy. I don't want him to win. If I'm not going to win, you're not going to win. See, that's that kind of idea, that grudge, that envying, that maliciousness, that withholding maliciously. And we see that is of the flesh. Please turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. So often we fight and war among ourselves as humans, and we lose sight of the fact of what we're even fighting about, but by this point we just need to win because of our own envy. Romans 13, verses 13 and 14 says, "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." Here again, we see this idea of strife and envying not only being tied together, but being put in this idea that it's of the lust. It's fulfilling the lust thereof. When there's these strife, when there's these envyings, when there's all these other things, it's of the flesh. Galatians 5, 16 through 21. Go ahead and turn there as I read on here in 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. Go ahead and turn to Galatians chapter 5. But it says to flee these lusts, to flee also youthful lusts, but instead to follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Here in Galatians chapter 5, when it's talking about how what is spiritual and what is of the flesh, in verse 16 it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." Then he goes here through these works of the flesh. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." This strife, envyings, these are not supposed to be named among the saints. A few verses later, in verses 25 and 26, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." The desire to withhold and to win and to have this grudge, something that irritates us about each other, should not be named. And James says, grudge not. We are to be following different things, like we looked at in 2 Timothy, to flee those things and follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. But not only that, turn it over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, while following after these things and trying to make sure that our minds and hearts are right, we're all supposed to stay away from things that may lead to envyings or strife. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3, it says, "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, evil surmisings." You see, again, staying away from these things that would lead to envy, strife, railings. Staying away from unwholesome words. Doting about questions and strife of words. Hypotheticals instead of giving grace. But you know what? So often, again, because we're human, our anger stirs things up. Turn back to James, please, and as you turn there, I'll read from Proverbs chapter 15. "Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife." James 1, verse 19, it says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Are we dealing with grudges in our heart? Has it come from us not being swift to hear, us being not being slow to speak, us not being slow to wrath? Are we doing things out of anger and it's causing strife in our own hearts or other hearts? Is it causing us to grudge? Well, if anything was done out of wrath, the verse 20 here says that the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Things done in anger are not righteous. Turn over a few pages to James chapter 4. Not only do we have to watch out for strife and envyings, but we also have to watch out for pride if we're not going to have grudges. James chapter 4 and verse 5 and 6, do you think that the Spirit saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. We all know that only by pride cometh contention. Galatians chapter 5, verse 26 says, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Do we have grudges in our heart and mind? Again, James says, grudge not. Do we have pride, envying, strife that are causing these grudges in our heart? I like to think of it this way, that word of pride, that maybe I need to be right. Or the idea of envyings, I can't let them win. Or the idea of strife, fighting to be right or to win. What's the answer to fixing this in my heart? Well, love, humility, meekness. Turn please to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. What is the love? What is the answer? We saw back in Leviticus that the antithesis of bearing a grudge and seeking revenge or whatever the case was to love thy neighbor. We've also seen the idea of humility and meekness. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 and 15 says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Ephesians 4, I believe I had you turn there, verses 31 and 32 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Do we have a grudge? You know, a simple illustration for how grudges affect us. And if you'll bear with me here, if you want to put your Bible aside or just have your hands out. We talk about bearing a grudge is you're holding on to something. And if I were to have you, and you can do it with me if you want, you don't have to, but if you were to squeeze your fist right now as hard as you can, and, you know, tighter, and even tighter, and even tighter, the longer you do it, and then finally let go. Did you notice the pain in your fingers when you actually let go? That actually hurt. It actually hurt to let go. When we carry a grudge, the grudge squeezes us to death. But the longer that we carry that grudge, we also find that it's more and more painful to let go of it. Someone once said that grudges get heavier the longer they are carried. Secondly, did you notice that the longer that you squeeze, it took more and more strength and more focus of your energy and your attention to be able to hold on longer? Carrying a grudge will consume more and more of your life and energy and leave less left over everything else. Thirdly, you may have noticed that a certain numbness from blood not circling well through your fingers. Carrying a grudge can produce an insensitivity to others. Turn back, please, to James chapter 5. Do we have a grudge? James 5, verse 9 says, grudge not. But then it goes on to speak more of this. It says, one against another, brethren. Now, if you've studied James, you know that if you look in James chapter 1, it's written to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. So it's written to Jewish converts all around. But as we heard the other day, that it was meant to be read in churches. And we can see this in James chapter 4, verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? And we could say, is this speaking specifically to churches, or is it speaking to brothers in Christ? And most likely the answer is yes, because churches are full of brothers in Christ. And we are not, and it says right there in that verse of James 5, 9, brethren, we're not, grudge not one against another. And in James 4, 1, that this wars and fightings were in their members, and they were among them. And this idea of grudges and divisions causing us to be divided is something that's spoken against all throughout Scripture. We could read in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 20 and 22. And actually, go ahead and turn over there if you would, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We see here this idea of this grudge that can be had or divisions inside the body. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 20 through 22, it says, but now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again to the head, to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And it's talking about here, we as a church are a body. And if we're irritated or there's something causing me not to be to give hospitality grudgingly or to have a grudge against somebody, I am in effect saying that this part of the body, I don't have need of them. I don't. And that goes contrary to Scripture. He goes on in verses 23 to 27, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our comely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Now, I looked up this word same, and it means same. Same care. Think of your best buddy here in church. Now think of your maybe furthest away church member that you may not even know. Same care. But that the members should have the same care one for another. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 3 says, for are ye yet carnal? For whereas there is among you, again, envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? That's 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 3. Now, something that gives me great joy is you look at the end of 2 Corinthians, or towards the end, and in 2 Corinthians 13, 11, it says, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. That church had started getting some things right. Do we want God to be with us? That God of love and peace to be with us? Then James 5 says, grudge not one against another. Or what? Well, he says, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. James 5, 9. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. And again, this is a principle. Whether we talk about forgiveness, we see that in Matthew, if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you, and then the opposite, but if you forgive not. Matthew 7, 1, whether we're talking about judging, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Judge not, in Luke 6, verse 37, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Now, I talked earlier about justified grudges. justified grudges, because it's easy for us to do that. It's okay for me to have a grudge versus them or whoever. And often we would maybe use something like Romans chapter 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. That's very true. Very true. But don't forget 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Let's turn there, please. What is the difference between a mark versus a grudge? A mark versus a grudge. Purpose of Scripture in knowing Scripture is to compare Scripture with Scripture, to compare spiritual with spiritual. And 2 Thessalonians verses 3, and if we start in verse 14, it says, "And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." In fact, in the passage that we're looking at in James, you can turn there if you'd like, in James chapter 5, a few verses later, in verses 19 and 20, it says, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." So what is the difference between a grudge and a mark? Have you admonished them? Have you talked to them? Have you gone to them and shown them the errors of their ways? Or are you sitting back and they don't seem to agree with me on this, so there's my mark? Or have you gone and admonished them, as it says to do when you have an issue, an error? Admonish him as a brother. Count him not. We heard a few weeks ago about knowing your enemy. We heard last week about giving people grace. And I'm not saying to stay away from truth, but the truth is, if there seems to be an error, approach them. Tell them. If you do that, "that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." Someone once said that love and truth must be maintained in perfect balance. Truth is never to be abandoned in the name of love. But love is not to be deposed in the name of truth. Love without truth has no decency, it's just brutality. On the other hand, love without truth has no character, it's just hypocrisy. We stand up for truth and we stand up for love. We're supposed to speak the truth in love. You know, Paul, when he it says that he withstood Peter to the face. He admonished him with truth. Says here that the judge is at the door in James chapter 5. "Grudge not one against another, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door." He is nigh. I wonder, are we going to let my hurt feelings, my uneasiness about talking to others about God's word, my pride, my lusts, my envyings, my strife, cause myself to be judged by God because I'm failing to do his work in following his great commandment? "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." 1 John 3:10 says, "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." What is love? We've read it many times. 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 7 says, "Charity suffereth long and is kind." Is kind. "Charity envieth not." From whence come wars and fightings among you? Doesn't the spirit of man lead to lust, lead to envy? "Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up." How pride causeth contention. "Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil." In those I see a lot of strife. "Rejoiceth not in iniquity." There's a grudge. "But rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things." So what is the fix? We've discussed a lot of it already. James chapter 5, where we've been looking, it talks in verse 16, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed." The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We read Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Do you have an irritation against somebody? Is there something that's holding back your charity, your hospitality? Is there something between you and another brother or sister in Christ? James says, grudge not. I wonder if I was quick to fellowship instead of quick to avoid people. What if we were quick to listen instead of quick to argue? What if I was tender-hearted instead of hard-hearted towards my brother? And most importantly, what if we buried each other's burdens instead of bearing grudges? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for your word. I